visually. And I also have, I have another volunteer. I also have a site map of the proposed location that this new facility is going to be constructed on.
Thanks, man. I'm sorry, really.
Now let those all go around. Let me, I guess as they say, start at the beginning. The topic du jour is the construction of a new county jail, not to be confused with a state prison. The difference primarily being if you're in jail, you're not spending any more than 1 year. Otherwise, you're going to prison, and that would be on 9W, a little bit farther up on Plank Road. So you're only talking about a county jail here. Everybody understand that from the get-go? This is a county jail, and your prison sentence can be 1 year, although occasionally you can get consecutive sentences and stack, but typically it's a year or less. The existing facility, as this outline begins, was constructed circa 1908. Had 40 cells. And then in 1978, an addition was put on with an additional 16 cells. So at maximum capacity, both genders, is 56. In other words, 56 beds. However, the state, now we are governed by what's called the CFC, the Commission on Corrections, and the Commission on Corrections does not allow us to fully board the entire 56 population. But typically, we are under what's called an 80% occupancy level. They do that so that someone who was arrested, let's say on a Friday night, if we're already maxed, we have no place to house. So there's constantly a need to have a bed space for somebody just coming into the facility before we either send somebody on to state time if they're going to be convicted of larger crimes, or before someone finishes a sentence for 60, 90, 120 days. So therefore, a 56-bed operation typically is going to have 40 beds available, and that's both genders. And genders have to be split. No sight, no sound ability between genders themselves. Bill, 3 years ago, we were required to conduct what's called a needs assessment. For those of you who have not read the needs assessment, if you have access to the internet, it's on our webpage. It's right on the front homepage. There's an icon that says Jail Project. And you can click on that and go underneath. And then there's two reports for the needs assessment. One outlines the historical review of the number of inmates that we have had, both by gender. And then the second report is based upon a square footage assessment of the type of functions that go on both within a sheriff administration office and the jail itself. And those reports are meant to give you a conceptual idea of the size of the facility that you should build so that you don't build too big, nor do you build too small. Over the years, we have had a population, an inmate population, higher than the bed count allows us to house. So for the majority of those inmates, they are shipped out of county, primarily to Columbia, although we certainly have gone to Ulster, Warren, Albany, et al., depending upon the type of inmate we're talking about. Or this is just the circumstances that may be occurring in those individual cells. Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm curious about specific percentages. When you say that we frequently have, when you use the word frequently, that we do have, we need more beds, according to what you said.
Correct.
So, but what percentage, how often do we need more beds? It's not a nightly. Is it once a month? Is it during summer months? Is it is it a regular meeting, we would say weekly?
Anticipating that question, I looked at the first quarter bed count since 2011. So first quarter, January, February, March. Male count, 79 for 11, fiscal 11. Fiscal 12, 49. Fiscal 13, 66. Fiscal 14, 77. Fiscal 15, 74. Fiscal 16, 55. And most recently, 41. Men.
That's an average per night or an average per week? Or?
That is the average per quarter.
For the quarter? So if you divide, that's 90 days.
Okay.
So if we had 79, well, the range.
It might fall like this.
Yeah, and it depends on how someone could stay two nights, others could stay three nights, or a month. We don't know.
Correct.
And of those, do you have also percentages of what would be drug-related or what would be like an overall?
No, those are just mass counts.
Okay.
The needs assessment, which is on the webpage, does break things down by classification of offense. They're gross numbers, but it looks at drug offense, violent offense, DWI, those gross numbers, if you will. Okay? So, we have been over capacity in our jail for years. Sir?
Do we know, like, on how many nights we actually exceed the number of inmates that we have beds for?
Most nights. Right now, today, I have somewhere in the range of 30 people 40, in Columbia?
24.
24? Today.
Those are people you have shipped out of?
Shipped out. So we have our own house, and then we have whoever we're shipping out to.
And what does it cost per night to do that?
The daily rate that we pay is $80 a day per inmate, plus the transportation of that inmate back and forth if they have to go to court, etc. Plus any medical care that can't be provided in the receiving jail, and any RX, any prescription drug that they may be on as well. So it's $80 plus. In this fiscal year, we have budgeted $875,000 to board out inmates, not including transportation, medical, and prescription. Just the boarding fee itself.
Sean?
Yep.
How many, what do you mean, two deputies to do the transport?
It depends upon the inmate. It depends upon their classification. Occasionally we'll do, depending on how many inmates we're moving. If we're moving multiple inmates, we'll move with two correctional officers. But if it's one, it could be a one-on-one. So therefore, I gotta have those number of correctional officers who are moving back and forth to either bring somebody over, bring somebody back for court, bring them back over for housing when court is concluded. So sometimes we're going across the rip, three or four times a day with varying numbers. So I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but let's keep on going. And please, raise your hand. I'd rather answer the questions as we go along so that the question stays in your mind.
Well,
so yep.
In conjunction with that, how many deputies are normally staffed per day? So if you're depleting one or two off your force, what does that leave you with?
Well, we have 37 correctional officers in total.
Okay. Okay.
And they run a three shift day. And you have to have gender specific. You must have a female with female inmates. I don't believe that doesn't mean you can't have a male too, but you have to have a female in with the female inmates at all times.
Thank you.
So on this, if you look at B on this page here, when I mentioned that the current budget was $875,000, from a historical perspective, in 2014, we spent $1.1 million boarding out inmates. That would be the high. Last year was our respective low, and we billed out $631,000, and those are respective of 37 on average on the high, and 21 per day on the low.
Do you have a sense of why there's about a 40% drop from year to year?
Every county around us right now is down in inmate populations. The economy picked up. If I had that crystal ball, I probably wouldn't be in Greene County, New York, I guess. So, the facility itself, moving to C here on this page, the facility itself is what's called, I'm sorry, do you have a question? Oh, I bet you have a chance. So the C of C is designated our facility as non-compliant. The building itself does not meet today's standards for confinement, either it be from recreational facilities, square footage. We're not ADA compliant. There is no elevator. We are a vertical jail, so we have multiple floors, so we're moving people up and down all the time, which is also staff intensive. There is no air conditioning. The reason why we're non-compliant also is the recreation yard. We pretty much have no recreation yard. So all these things added together, the Commission on Corrections, which is the state agency which regulates us, defined us as non-compliant to their standards. The jail footprint, if you think of it from a building standpoint, sits on only a half an acre of property. If we were trying to expand on site, the only allowable increase is an additional 0.3 acres. And if you know the geography, there's quite a big pitch there on Bridge Street. We would have to condemn or buy the property on the east end. In order to expand that footprint, but even with that footprint expansion, you would be still talking about a vertical jail, multiple floors, and then separation by gender, separation by probably ground floor would be parking, things like kitchens and medical administration, and then as you move up in tiers, the actual housing units themselves would be located. So early on in this evaluation process, we deemed that the existing site could not continue to house the county jail. In addition, the village administration at that time of Catskill has said, don't stay here. We would prefer you to move out of the village and allow either development of your footprint, office space, something like that for the courts. Who knows what development could be. So that's why we started to look for alternative property. As you know, utilities are a challenge in our county. There's not a lot of places with water and sanitary sewer. So we put an application into the state, so the prison campus with the two facilities of Green and Coxsackie on 9W and Plank has a fairly large campus. I'll put it in quotes there. So we solicited from them, I can go to this, the ability to take 50 acres of property from them to locate the county jail on the existing state prison campus. No connectivity to services, no guards flipping, no, because you can't mix jail inmates with prison inmates. So we sought to acquire the 50 acres, and as you know, approximately on 9W, where the small rental garages are there at the bend, where County Route 42 and the Bronx House, all right there, there's a little patch of green. There is literally one tree in the middle of this 50 acres, and that's the site that the state has given us. That site is 50, it's pretty square. However, there is a drainage swale that runs about two-thirds of the way back So the property is kind of split between 32 and 18 acres of total 50.
You said given to us?
Yes, we requested the donation, and the governor has approved the donation. It's free. Free of the copy of it. Frank?
One thing to mention, in discussing the jail in Catskill, that is also the headquarters of the county sheriff.
The former home of the sheriff at one time is the sheriff administration building.
Okay.
Correct.
So that moves also.
The plan is right now is to move enchilada, everything to 9W in Cooksack. I have 10 minutes.
Well, you answered a lot of questions, so I can get you a little.
Okay. So this site, I'll give you a few minutes. So the black markings here is kind of the footprint of how the new facility would sit on the 50 acres. And you have a parking system and a little loop system there. Across where the storage facility is, you have County Route 42 that makes that very obnoxious Y intersection on north and south. The town and the Historical Society has asked us to decommission County Route 42, take it down. And then the only access point would be at the T, where the former barn burned maybe a year ago, whatever it was. So if you're coming from the top up down from 81, what's that street? It's Old Kings Road. Old Kings Road down. You would go straight through the historical campus to 9W rather than bowing out left and right or north and south to onto 9. All right, so let me move on here because my clock is ticking. F, the current facility, we do not really have any ability to do any programming, any GED or general education development opportunity. There are no workshops, there are no wood shops, nothing like that. It's just too small, and plus when it was built in 1908, you didn't have those types of services. The inmate population has no minimum security inmates. So every time someone is arrested, they are classified. That classification system we use is the same system that is used by most of the jails in New York State. And it reviews your current arrest, any previous arrest that you may have had or conviction, and then from that, a determination of are you a minimum security, are you a medium security, or are you a maximum security inmate. And historically, we do not have minimum security inmates. I believe that's because our magistrates, our town judges, just don't put people in jail on a small time event. You can pick a crime, you can pick whatever, but we just don't see it. And we've looked at this numerous times over a 5-year period, and every time we go down the listing or the roster of inmates, there has not been a minimum security inmate. Even though it's a county jail, we can house some pretty bad people. You get a lot of gangs, et cetera. So we're not keeping small-time offenders. Sir?
What percentage is illegals coming through the jail system?
Is what?
What percentage is illegals come through the system?
Oh, geez, I don't know that. I mean, we do not house ICE-driven inmates. ICE is the Customs and Border Patrol. We don't take ICE inmates. We don't take U.S. Marshal Service inmates. So I'm going to probably guess, unless an illegal had a true arrest for criminal activity, but we're not picking people up for immigration violations.
No, I didn't mean that for immigration. Okay. I meant how many come into the system as doing something wrong.
I don't know that. Ma'am?
Just to go back to where you previously stated that the sheriff's department is moving all the way to Coxsackie. Won't that significantly affect response times? And if you need the sheriff's department, say, to respond to Wyndham?
No.
Has there been any thought of, like, a satellite?
Sheriff administration is moving. The road patrol is already decentralized.
Okay.
So there's not going to be 50 black and whites in the parking lot. They're already spread. So a deputy reports to work today, actually down the street, I believe it's at the town hall.
Right.
That's his station. He starts there, he finishes there. Okay?
Is there another question?
Okay, let me try to go on here, because, go ahead.
I haven't separated for each individual.
Okay.
No, but if you're doing, they've time to you, so take your time.
Okay, gender distribution is roughly, and I've rounded here, 75-25%, so more men than women. However, ladies, female empowerment, congratulations, our inmate population of ladies is going up. So I say that tongue in cheek. Our average stay is under 50 days. Our average stay. Certainly, somebody could do 180, okay? But when you add everybody up and divide it by the numbers, you're out in 50 days. Which is part of our dilemma, because I agree, that in order to break any kind of recidivism cycle, that there should be some programming. But when you only have someone for 50 days or under, it's difficult to do any kind of behavior mod or something like that, because they're going to be gone before you can get any comprehensive and deep kind of training. That doesn't mean we shouldn't start. I wonder if we should start and then hand off to some social service agency, which then has the requirement to continue with somebody to get them training, to get them a GED, to get them a drop skill, to get them off drugs, etc. Getting back to the jail itself, because we are non-compliant with CFC regs, we operate on a continual waiver to operate the jail. So every 60 to 90 days, the state comes down and inspects the facility and gives us another 60 days of operation. And anytime they find serious violations, they can move more prisoners out. If we make repairs, we can move more prisoners back in. Our COO to inmate population today is about a 12-to-1 ratio, 12 inmates to a single correctional officer, and that's low. But that's primarily driven by the fact, as an old-style jail, the correctional officer is on the outside of the bars, and he walks the loop, I think Andy and Mayberry, and look inside the jail itself. He's on the outside. But because of that loop and because of the walking, we have a small ratio. The facilities that we're talking about building, the correctional officer is right inside the facility, mingling in with the inmates. With that, your ratio can go as high as 60-to-1. So we're limited now, and our assumption on staffing for the new facility, from a correctional officer standpoint, we don't see a large increase in the need for correctional officers, because our ratio can go from 12-to-1 to up to as high as 60-to-1, and therefore I don't need that many more people. All right, so let me try to continue.
Question.
Yep.
I can't see where that makes any sense.
What? Which one?
Why are you having the corrections officers mingle?
It's the new design. It's what everybody is doing today. You can't go to a prison in America that's been built in the last 10 years
and not have
what's called a pod development. Go ahead.
What does it mean, please?
Okay, think of this room, okay?
Yeah.
Every wall, every 12 feet, is a cell. And I'm going to sleep inside this door. In the morning, I'm going to come out into a large area with tables, chairs, telephones. I can mingle with the other inmates. I can mingle with the correctional officer themselves. But at nighttime, I go back into my cell and I go to bed. It increases the communication. It increases the camaraderie of the inmate. It's meant to improve the living standard for the inmate themselves.
Why is 61 considered doable in that kind of free flowing?
CFC or the industry has determined that a single correctional officer can handle that workload.
Okay.
because he's not doing the loop.
When you're not
doing the loop, you're not losing sight of the people on the other side of your loop. The whole line of sight technology, there isn't a corner inside the pod that a correctional officer can't see.
Well,
I can share if you want some time. I can share with you if you'd like some of the information where this is coming from and like how why they made a change over what the benefits are to the officers.
Well,
to what the research shows.
Oh, Jacob, it's helpful. There's photos on my presentation of linear supervision and direct supervision.
Anyone who wants to see some of the presentations and some of those photos, if you leave your email address at the on the list in the back where you signed in, I can share, as opposed to sending it all up.
Okay. I can
share some of that information with you. And we could probably get some of the additional questions that might be outside of the plan answered that way.
Okay. All right, so moving on to the next question, what are we required to have? Whoops, okay.
Overall, corrections compensation in New York State is the highest.
Defined corrections compensation.
When somebody gets injured.
Okay.
So how is putting officers with prisoners going to reduce comp?
I can't answer that question. All I'm telling you is the industry standard. The industry standard is today the correctional officer is inside. He's not on the outside. He's living, if you will, for his shift with the inmates. It's more direct one-on-one coordination and communication, and that's what we're moving. Everybody has moved to that environment.
Right. And the comp rate in this state is the highest in correction. But my way of thinking is you want to move in a direction to reduce that. Under today's standards, most of our parents are just going to be in jail for child abuse. Under today's standards.
That's all.
So we got new standards today.
Come on.
Okay. If the state is imposing new standards on us, why isn't the state footing the bill for it?
How long do you want to be here?
The
state law as it is written today, every county in New York State has to have a jail. There is no regional county jail in New York State. Argue about that all you want. Hang on. Frank,
I just want to point out that you may be right that compensation is highest in New York. But you're talking about whether you want one correctional officer or six correctional officers doing the job. So the amount of compensation for injury might go up, but the salaries for the bottom more.
No, I'm saying you're doing more contracting. To me, if your injury rate is high from prisoners, you'd want less.
The jail tours that we went on were in a direct supervision context, which is what we're proposing. And the correctional officers that were there, whether it was the female pods, the male pods, regardless, they were all very happy with it. One officer in a pod, and I think they were a little larger actually than the ones we're looking at. They were happy with it, and there was a better morale within the facility than being housed into a separate cell or a guard or an officer would walk around and use.
What would mean it's not more or less?
This is any new facility is built. Yeah. All new facilities statewide are built.
We couldn't build a jail today under the old footprint, right?
No, I'm just saying, under this system and this system, what's the numbers on comp? That's all I'm saying.
I don't have the data, but I don't have a lot of correctional officers who are being hurt on the job today.
If somebody says to do something, doesn't mean it's going to work.
Is it partly that we're kind of thinking of jail and prison as the same thing?
You might, because jail and prison are not the same thing.
Right. So jail is housing people for what kind of violation?
It's a class D and below, I believe.
But also, importantly, only about a quarter or a third of the people in the jail are sentenced, right? So the vast majority of people in county jail have not yet been sentenced. So that's an important distinction from the prison, the state prison. Everyone in New York State prison has been sentenced to a year or more. So that's just keeping that in mind, I think, is important.
So it's a different
concept.
Yes. Yeah. Totally different concept.
That's
Sean, question in relation this to like a school district, seven square foot. Money with the state? In other words, do they provide money to the county to assist in these programs? Zero. But yet we have to comply with their...
Yes, we get no state assistance to operate the county jail. There's no grants for construction. There's no easement of electricity bills. The county jail is a county responsibility. You could say the state did anything for us. They gave us 50 acres at maybe a $4,500 per acre value on a retail scale, $200,000 in that range. So now let me continue. I want to get off page one. So what are we required to have? We are required to have a county jail that's ADA compliant, visually compliant for the impaired. It has to have the menu compliance, meaning religious menus. It has to have religious observance. It has to have a law library. It has to have physical visitation. If you visit, I'll be sexist, if you visit Uncle Bob, you can touch Uncle Bob when you go visit in a county jail. It also means by which most contraband is passed. It has to have complete gender separation. It has to have adequate recreation, including the ability to feel the rain if it's raining or the sunshine if it's open. It has to have sunlight exposure. We have to have special housing classifications. You have to be ADA compliant. We just had someone in the other day who was on crutches. They immediately went to Columbia County. We have no elevator. Okay, I'm on page two. How big does it have to be? It has to be big enough to get CFC compliant, and I don't mean to be glib with that answer. In my mind, this is a generational decision. No decision by these board members or the 13 others, 12 others that are not here. There will be no other decision that they will make in their tenure as big as this decision here. This is a generational decision. This facility will be used for 50 years, if not more, since the existing jail has been used since 1908. So in my mind, I want to build it correctly. I don't want to build it too big. I don't want to build it too small. The housing itself, going from the needs assessment, you can read, when you talk about the bed counts themselves. So you have a pod. Now go to your map, and you can see the little black item next to the pink item there. That black item is two male pods left from right from each other, the pink being future expansion. In that pod, the original design was 40 individual cells. But at 80% compliance, that means I can only put 32 people in there on a permanent basis. I have to have flexibility to move people around, and we have to have flexibility to take in a new arrestee tonight if it happens. Is that too big? If we review the history, there is an ability to shrink. Cells, I'm going to get technical, stay with me. Cells come in pairs, okay? Because the plumbing and the electrical chase is in the middle. And because we're stacking them, that means if you cut two, you're cutting four. Think of vertical. Everybody with me? So now the thought is to reduce the size of the budget, to reduce the budget, go from 40 to 32. 32 individual cells. But at an 80% occupancy rate, you're getting down to 26 for the male. My first quarter history, we are consistently above 52 males from a historical perspective. However, some of those cells can be double bunked. So you make the cell a little bit wider, a little bit deeper, you put two beds in, it increases your capacity, but it brings now an operational problem because you gotta make sure two people can live together. So that puts a little bit more focus on the correctional officer himself, but it does increase our capacity. So if you follow that math there, M is male, 32, 32, plus 24 is the ladies' pod. 18 is what we call special housing or transition. That really means that's the first bed you're going to go to when you're arrested tonight until you're medically cleared and classified, we have now shrunk this down to 106 cells. If we go further, then you just follow the math, 26, 26, okay? But if you increase the double capacity, will we be able to handle then the peaks and the valleys that our history has shown us? Everybody, that was a lot. I want to make sure everybody understands that. So the pod is designed with a fixed number of cells within the ratio that is correct for the correctional officer, with the ability to double bunk if capacity is needed. If not, someone just sleeps alone with two beds.
With state approval.
With state approval, thank you. We can't double bunk until the state approves us to double bunk.
Is there a limit also on the number of double bunk?
It's 25% of your bed count. You can't go above, you know, we're not going to turn into a third world jail here, okay? There are limitations that we can go. C, this is, I think, part of the big question. Are we going to warehouse people or are we going to intervene? I will tell you that my previous post, I was in Michigan. I built a county jail in Michigan, three times the size of this. We didn't call it a jail. We called it an intervention center. And we introduced a lot of things for programming, particularly focused on GED. And we went from a jail that never issued a GED to one issuing hundreds in a year. Now, Michigan is a totally different state than New York. We had average length of stays that were longer. The thought, though, is if I can improve this person, because they're your neighbor, 80% of these people are Greene County people, when they get released, are they going to be employable? Are they going to be functional? Are they off whatever drug they were on to get there? That's the question. When you only have 50 days, though, that we have averaged, we think we're better off starting a program. Let's call it an 8-step program. Maybe two of those steps can be completed in our 50 days. And then can we hand it off to somebody who completes steps 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 to get this person turned around? That's a $64 question. So, we want to build it large enough, but not too small. I consider myself a professional public administrator. My belief is if we had to put an addition on this building in a 7 to 10 year time frame, we failed. Because the cost to remobilize and rebuild that expansion is going to be much greater than the original footprint. This is a 50-year building. If we build too small, does it make any sense to continue to send people to Columbia at $80 a day plus transportation? Inside a pod, okay, think of those 32 cells or 40 cells. There's also an ability to break those out, secure them, so I could have 6 cells for somebody who's violent, who does not intermingle with the rest of the pod circulation. Maybe that addresses your workers' comp concern. I can segregate. If, even within that 6 sub-pod, somebody is still a knucklehead, then they go in their cell until they can behave and work with the rest of their inmates. The key for me, what I heard a judge tell me once, is you don't want to put people in jail who you're mad at. You want to put people in jail who you're afraid of. And there's a very big difference. And when you look at our classification, we do not have minimum classifications. We have gangs. We have hardened criminals who are waiting for state sentence. It's a bad place. And we have to be able to hold those people for the appropriate amount of time. I'm going to start moving faster because time is of the essence. Let me go down to how much will it cost. That's probably what everybody's here for anyways. As of today, let me go back. We started this project under a conceptual design. So we had a bunch of boxes and squares and triangles, and that started us. And since that time, we've continued to whittle and whittle and whittle down. We started at 51.3, $51 million. We are now at 46.7. We still are whittling and whittling down, and I still think there's millions of dollars yet to cut. Within that 46.7, there is $5.7 million of contingency funding. Any construction project, particularly in the public sector, has to have a contingency item. I don't think we're going to need the entire $5 million. I think this thing is going to continue to whittle down, but it's not going to whittle down to $20 million. For us to house 32 and 32, or 26 and 26 males, and 24 or 18 females, you're looking anywhere from 50 to 60,000 square feet of concrete, another 13,000 for sheriff administration and jail administration to get the facility up into that 80,000 square foot range. Public projects, prevailing wages, WICS law, the division of contracts, construction projects are expensive. I think, though, we can get this down. Ma'am.
I want to be sure I understand the math on the budget. That 46.7 includes the 5.7 contingency.
Correct.
Not in addition.
No. Inclusive.
Okay.
Okay? So, one more question? Okay. Sir? Sir?
How do I put this? The simplest way to explain something to almost anybody in my history is how much does it cost per cell? Thank you.
Oh, per cell?
Per cell.
I don't have it per cell, I have it per house.
Per house, well, I knew somebody that was an engineer that did prison design, and it was always came down to per cell. This was 10, well, 15 years ago.
Who's got
a
copy?
It cost $100,000 per cell.
How many cells? 120?
You got 106 right now.
106.
Okay. 106 cells. So at take out, if you want to take out contingency, make it $40 million. Or, now, but that's a little bit of a misnomer because you got sheriff administration in that. So at 13,000, so you're at 15%. So take 85% of 40 million divided by 106.
Go ahead. While he's doing the math, can I ask a side question?
No.
What percentage of that money is allocated for some of these programs that you're talking about that might be in addition to incarceration or alternatives to incarceration?
None. This is bricks and mortar only. If we are going to seek to intervene versus warehouse, we do not have an existing staff that can accommodate that effort. We are accommodating the square footage. So in that pod is a classroom that has all the multimedia, right? It has, you know, a classroom, if you will. There are two rooms for what we are calling transition officers. So maybe within 10 to 15 days from being released, I'm going to hook up with the transition officer who's going to schedule me with the social service agency that I'm going to hand off to or get you prepared for whatever your release is going to be. Then you have probation and the usual things that we do today. Go ahead, sir.
So you just said that this is for bricks and mortar only. So that answers part of what I was going to ask you. Has anybody figured out the cost of transportation between Coxsackie and Catskill?
No. We don't. Our accounting or our payroll records don't keep track of transport. They're just correctional officers today. On Tuesday, they're driving to Colombian back, and it's not something we've ever cataloged. We know how many people we move. I could probably give an estimate because I know what they make per hour and that kind of stuff, but we're moving a lot of people every day because they're coming back to court, as Lori just said,
right.
Because they have not been adjudicated yet.
Right.
They may be coming back for a court appearance, 10 o'clock, 10 to noon, whatever. So we go out to get them at 9, get them there by 10, get them back at 1 o'clock, maybe another bus comes back for an afternoon session. We are constantly in the transportation business.
It's got to be cheaper than going to another county. Hmm. Yeah.
Is it? Well, there's transportation and then there's housing. Don't forget the 875,000 that we're paying just to house them. So if you look at the sheet I just spread around, if you take the existing budget, even though I know it's going to come down, I've amateurized that just like you would amateurize your home mortgage. It's in what's called a 30-year PPU. That's the legal term for period of probable usefulness, which is the maximum amount that I could bond something. When you do that, you look at the gross debt service, the principal and the interest, on an annual basis. Then you subtract from that the amount of money that we're currently spending on housing, because if we build it the right size, we don't have to house out anymore, and therefore we don't have to transport anymore, to get you down to a net number. Then that number I've divided by each of the town's assessed valuation, and then I've used the average single family home per town. So your New Baltimore here, flip it over, I think it's the third number from the bottom, $40.41. The debt service will be applied to your January county town tax bill in the total amount of $41. Everybody follow that, Matt?
Sure.
So it's the gross principal and interest, less the boarding fees that I don't need anymore, giving you a net divided by assessed valuations, and then times the value of the average single family home in each of the 14 towns.
That's
per year.
$41 per year.
Per year.
Per home.
Per single family home.
Based on.
There's a dollar amount for New Baltimore. The average single family home in New Baltimore is listed there.
Right.
If it's Coxsackie, if it's Casco, I listed them all. But
I want to read something on foreclosures right now.
What?
Green County Columbia cited in the report is very concerned. In Green County, pending foreclosures rose from 159 in 2013 to 240.